That's why Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, therefore everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's where we are in our culture. You just do whatever you want. Blame everyone else when it goes wrong. What a formula, right? I'm gonna do whatever I want, then when it goes south, I'm gonna blame somebody else. What a crazy, insane world. And this is what happens when you bury the truth.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Father, I come before you again, and we just simply say, Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you. And we need you right now to impart truth to us in a culture that promotes falseness and darkness and the things that are not of you, God. We need, we crave, we desire, we thirst for your truth. And so, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may you speak, and may we be forever changed. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans 1, here we're looking at Romans 1, verses 18 through 23. And as you're finding that place in your Bible, I want us to think for a moment of the word wrath. Wrath. W-R-A-T-H. I want you to begin to think about the word wrath. And probably right now in your mind's eye, you're picturing. Maybe it was the wrath you faced as a child as you did something wrong and you knew, oh no, when dad gets home, I'm in trouble. Maybe you're picturing that type of wrath, of something perhaps you did at school and you had to face the consequences. There are always consequences in life. But when you think about God's law, his word, we just talked about it from Psalm 1, that we meditate day and night on God's law, on his word. I want us right now to think of this text. And in Romans 1, 18 through 23, this, in my opinion, is, if not the greatest passage, is one of the greatest passages that is going to show you and I over the next two Sundays together. It's going to show us where we are as a culture today. It's going to lay it out beautifully of where we are today. That when a culture rebels against God, when a culture says, God, we don't want you, there's going to be a price to pay. And so let's look at the Word of God. I'm going to actually start in verse 16 from our last time together, because this is actually the whole springboard. So Romans 1, 16 through 17 says this, for I am not ashamed of the what? Of the gospel, for it is the power of who? God, for what? Salvation to who? To everyone who does what? Believes. Now we talked about that, pause for a moment, so I'm going to drive this in our brain. So the word belief or believes is always active. It's never passive in the New Testament. And it does not mean simply an intellectual belief. There's an emotional response, that it's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And then thirdly, there's a total surrender of the will. God owns you and you joyfully accept it. You go, I belong to Jesus. That's what the word believes means in that verse. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. Now verse 17, for in it, that's the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now this is mission critical. I'm going to read this one more time. I want you to hunker down on this, okay? The righteousness of God is what? Revealed. So make a mental note of that, okay? For faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, now, here's our verses for today. Romans 1, 18 through 23. 18. For the wrath of God is what? Now, wait a minute. Did we just hear something about revealing? Hang on to that thought. We're coming back to it. From heaven, so for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the what? Ooh. Okay, I hope this is sinking in. Here's where we live. In 2024, this is where we live. 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since what? The creation of the world. From the very beginning, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Wow. Let that sink in for a moment. Sometimes people read that verse and they go, is that actually in the Bible? Yes. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their what? In their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. 22 and 23, claiming to be wise, they became what? Fools. And they exchanged the glory, of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things, period, end quote. And all God's people said, amen. Romans 1 is a frightening but true and realistic assessment of where we are in our culture today. And we haven't gotten into the consequences yet in depth, but I want us to look right now, two chunks, broke this down. First section, Romans 1, 18 through 20. Let's go through it word by word, and let's see the gravity, the weightiness of God's word. So look at verse 18 of Romans 1. It says, "For." Now, I typically don't pause after one word, but we're going to pause. So the word for, I'm going to help teach us as we study our Bibles. When you see the word for, F-O-R, especially at the beginning of a sentence, it actually is a connector connecting to the previous verse or verses. It's a connector. So the four is dealing with verses 16 and 17. Paul goes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of this. God's transformed me. Why would I be ashamed of something that's pulled me out of darkness? Why would I be ashamed? I'm not ashamed. I love Jesus. And then he talks about there in 16 following in 17 that it's, well, it's from faith to faith, the righteousness of God. It's been revealed. And then all of a sudden, for, verse 18, for, one word, for the wrath of God has been what? Revealed. So we have righteousness being revealed and we have wrath being revealed. That should give us all pause. We should all be going, okay, this is interesting. So God's revealing righteousness and he's also revealing wrath. Why would a good God reveal righteousness and also reveal wrath? Because God is holy. He's incapable of turning a blind eye to unrighteousness. He's incapable of turning a blind eye to those things that are not holy. Because he is holy, because he is righteous, he guards it ferociously. And his wrath is coming against those who do not walk in his righteousness, who do not walk in his holiness. It's that simple. I found it intriguing there in your Bible, if you look there for a moment in Romans 1:18, it says the wrath, right? The fierce anger, the retribution, the indignation, the vengeance, the judgments. Well, that puts a whole new spin on it when you read it in that context, doesn't it? This fierce anger, this retribution, this vengeance, indignation, this judgment of God is revealed. And by the way, in the original language, the word revealed is ongoing. Make a note of that. His wrath is not a one-time revealing, it's ongoing. People go, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense because so-and-so who I know, they're living wickedly, and you should see their crib. It's like amazing, right? You should see what they drive. You should see the house they have. And we attribute, we go, wait a minute, why would a good God allow a wicked person to succeed, if you will, in this world? Well, think through this. We're going to learn next week that these people who are rebelling against God, it may appear that they're doing okay, but they're actually storing up wrath for the day to come. Any folks in the room like have like any sort of like investments or what have you, you put something in, you invest to get a return, right? Can you imagine having a God's wrath investment? That'd be like total insanity to purchase that one, wouldn't it? God's wrath, oh, look at the yield on that one. God's wrath, I need to get 19 of those. That's amazing. That'd be insane. Why would you want to invest in God's wrath? You know, we got people even sitting in church houses today who have multiple CD accounts labeled God's wrath, and they don't even know it. And they're making daily deposits as they shake a fist at, as they rebel, as they say, I don't want to go your way. Don't tell me what to do, God. It's ongoing. His wrath is ongoing. And like I said, when he cuts that cord, when it finally does get released, you don't want to be anywhere near it. You don't want to be anywhere near it. God's wrath, back to our verses, is being revealed. And what happens here? It's being revealed from heaven again. So this word against means to go to war with. So imagine how insane this is. There's people that literally kind of put up their dukes. Right? Remember that back as a kid? Put up your dukes. You guys ever do that before? Put up your dukes. Give me five. Hey, I'll give you two. Doink. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'll give you a knuckle sandwich. Yeah, you think about this. It's like, who in their right mind would want to go to war against God? But that's the whole point. They're not in their right mind. We're going to see it here in a moment. And we have people all around us, probably in your network, in your sphere, perhaps in your family, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, wherever you are, that they're literally going, all right, God, put them up. And you're just like, this is going to be a colossal train wreck because you won't win against God. Like, it's impossible. This is what's happening right here. It's the wrath of God is from heaven, and it's coming against. Against what? Look in your Bible. This is so important. How much of ungodliness and unrighteousness? How much? All. Did you catch that? It's a three-letter word. And don't miss it. Like, there's no kind of side doors. There's no, hey, you know, just kidding, a do-over. Remember the do-over in the backyard football game when we were kids? That was our favorite play, the do-over. We loved it. When there was an argument, you know, we thought we scored, they didn't. And wait a minute, do-over! Do-over. There's going to be a day when people are going to scream do-over. And God's going to go, I never knew you. Never knew you. I don't care what you did. Pastor, I don't care. Care who you are as far as what you did externally. I care about who you are in your heart. And you said you were this, but it was all a charade. And the wrath of God is coming against all who do what? Well, of men who by their unrighteousness, their wickedness, they suppress. When you think of the word suppress, what comes to your mind without overthinking this? Suppress. What comes to your mind? Yeah, good. Somebody else. Good. I like that. Good. Somebody else. Suppress. Conceal. Yeah. It literally means to bury. I'm going to read this one more time. And like if you're tempted to take a nap, hope this wakes you up. Ready? Here it goes. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against, going to war against all ungodliness, not some, but all of it, unrighteousness of men who by their wickedness, they bury the truth. Bury it. That's where we are, I'm telling you. If there was ever a time for the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world to wake up, it's now. We've got so many people running around doing their thing while they bury the truth. They're burying it. They're pushing it down because they hate it. I don't want this. It's too convicting. I want me. I love me. I'm my biggest fan. Go me. Go me. And yet we're going to see here that that's the worst thing you can do. 100% of people that say they love me, love themselves, and do not repent from that, end up in a godless hell, 100%. Suppress, to bury, to what? I even made a broader definition. To push down with force, to forcibly reject, to be willfully rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, unfaithful. And they do this to the truth because the truth is always Satan's target. That's always the target. Satan hates the truth. I want to be like Jesus. I want preeminence. Wait a minute. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, wait a minute. I hate you, Jesus. And if you're the way, the truth, and the life, I hate truth. That's what Satan said. It's exactly what he was living. And so what happens in verse 19? Well, it says this, for what can be known about God is plain to them. In the Greek, it means easy to see, easy to understand. You go, what is he talking about? Well, look in the Bible, just read on. Because God has shown it to them. Huh? What do you mean he's shown it to them? Well, look at verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, and his, what, divine nature have been clearly perceived. People are going, what is he talking about here? Clearly seen, clearly revealed, clearly evident. Well, here's the answer. Ever since the what? The creation of the world. You walk outside today. We could all walk outside. We could get our permission slips and go on a Christian field trip. Amen. Remember permission slips? Didn't you love those days, permission slips? We go on a field trip. Yeah, we go outside and you see the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the grass, the flowers. And here's what God is saying. He's going, I created all this. And my handiwork, my fingerprints, my DNA is all over this. It is absolutely impossible to walk outside and go, there's no God. It's impossible. You go, well, I'm an atheist. Okay. Well, the old phrase rings true. It takes more faith to be an atheist. Oh, yeah. When you clearly see God is everywhere in his creation, and this is what he's talking about. Write it down in your notes. It's called general revelation. What the big name is, general revelation. God revealed himself in the earth, what he created, what he made. It's general revelation. And so what is the result of this in this first section? Well, look at the end of verse 20. Ever since the creation of the world, general revelation in the things that have been made, so they are without, help me, excuse. Five of the most damning words of all of Scripture. It means this. There's going to be no justifiable reason. They're not going to be able to go, well, no one came to my house and knocked on the door riding a bicycle and gave me a tract. Sorry, chief, that's not going to work. And trust me, there's going to be a lot of people when they stand at the great white throne judgment that are going to be screaming do-over. It's not going to happen. It's too late. You had your opportunity. You walked outside and you just shook your fist and said, I don't want any of you, God. I want all of me because I love me. I love meology. Meology, the doctrine of me, the study of me. I love it. And God goes, you're going to pay a price, literally, without excuse. Nobody will be allowed to plead ignorance, nor play the spiritual hot potato card. You guys ever play hot potato? Hopefully that was just the kids, right? Adults, I mean, I love hot potato, right? What is hot potato? In layman's terms, you take like a balloon, a little ball, and you pretend like it's hot, and you quickly pass it on to the next person, right? Well, we are living in spiritual hot potato land in this culture today. Victimology is the name on the ball today. Everybody's a victim, right? Everybody's a victim. It wasn't my fault. It's always somebody else. Always somebody else. Can it be someone else's fault? Of course it can. But we're referring to people who are bearing the truth. And they're constantly wanting to blame shift. Just cast the blame on something or someone else. And they simply just won't embrace God. But they want to shake their fist at Him. I want you to write down key number one. Write this down in your notes. Key number one. Here's what it says. Key number one. As we see here in Romans 1, 18 through 20, God's wrath is revealed on people who suppress the truth, and be warned, they are without excuse. Let me repeat that again. Key number one, write it there on your notes on the back of your worship guide. As we see here in Romans 1, 18 through 20, God's wrath is revealed on people. So His wrath is revealed on people who suppress the truth, and be warned, they are without excuse. So again, in Romans 1, 17, He revealed His righteousness, His holiness, and in verse 18, He reveals His wrath. And I made this note. I said this: you will never fully understand God's love until you first fully understand His wrath. Just let that sink in for a moment. You will never fully understand God's love unless you first fully understand God's wrath. You know, so often in modern evangelicalism, we got this backwards. We go talk to someone, and here's typically the intro. It's, God has a wonderful plan for your life. He can make things better. These things can be true, but imagine if you started off with the problem. You're under God's wrath. You go, whoa, didn't say this wouldn't be painless. But you present the problem, and then you present the solution. Like, we're under judgment. You just can't go up to someone and have a soccer ball that's got a black stripe on it, and this represents sin, and God's got a great plan. Hey, do you want to accept Jesus? Sure, bow your head now and repeat this prayer after me, and blah, 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 and okay, you're saved. It just doesn't work like that. Is there really going to be godly sorrow in there? Perhaps it could happen. But in my experience, with all of those gadgets and trinkets and clever ideas, it typically, in my experience, leads to someone who's made a false profession. They have not truly given their life to Christ. That's why, I don't know if you understand this, but when you look at these verses, we ultimately need to be saved from God. Amen? It's not sin's wrath, it's whose wrath? God's wrath. When that person who you're thinking of right now, that spouse, that coworker, that friend, that son, that daughter, that neighbor, whoever it might be that you're thinking of right now, that unless they repent, they're going to stand in judgment in front of God, sin is not going to punish them. God is. Now, sin is the vehicle. Sin, as we talked about on Wednesday night, sin is simply this. It's where you exchange God for you. Just write the word self somewhere. Every sin is connected to self. I'm looking away from God, and I'm looking to me. Why? Because like in all humanity, we're all our own biggest fans, right? No, I need to be saved from God's wrath. And yet Satan, what will he do? He'll lull us to sleep, won't he? Here's what he'll do. He'll lull us to sleep. He's like, he'll put that little baby, or he puts a little baby for, you know, the young moms, you know, or the grandmas. You got that little baby. It's so sweet and so precious. Yeah, so precious. just kind of lull him to sleep, right? That's what Satan does so many times. He puts us on his shoulder and just lulls us to sleep. He goes, you know what? You're not that bad. I mean, you're not perfect, but do you really need to obey the Lord all the time? Is it really a big deal? This holiness thing, is it really a big deal? And we begin to go, I think he's got a good point here. Let me pull up a chair. So we pull up a chair and we do tell Satan. And we begin to listen. And as we listen, he's luring us, he's baiting us, he's drawing us closer and closer and closer. And then we leave the meeting going, I think he's got some good points. They're solid. Okay. I mean, God hasn't struck me with a lightning bolt, so God must be okay with my lifestyle and what I do. Again, total insanity. Every day, we are making spiritual deposits into either God's account or the enemy's account. Every day, we're making deposits.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
of people who reject giving their lives to Christ, unless they repent, will wake up under the judgment hand of God, his wrath. Zero unrepentant. I'm talking zero. Zero unrepentant people escape God's wrath. Zero. Zero. You say, well, okay, I claim Christ, but man, I'm struggling with sin. Well, let me cut to the chase. Ready for this one? You will never defeat a sin in your life that you keep feeding. That's it. Like, that's it? Yeah, sorry. That's it. You will never defeat a sin in your life that you keep feeding. And so many people aren't willing to stop feeding the sin. I made this note. I said, because every human being has a natural bent to the selfish flesh, biblical churches, hear this clearly, are not set up to make people spiritually comfortable. If I'm bent toward selfishness and I attend a church where they make me spiritually comfortable so I can become more selfish, how's that helping my walk with the Lord? It's not. I'm not moving forward. I'm in reverse. A biblical church loves people enough that we challenge one another. Yes, we encourage one another. We sharpen one another to become more like who? Jesus. Sanctification is the big word, right? Ongoing change, becoming more like Christ. That's what it means. To be sanctified, this ongoing change, until we're glorified in his presence, made fully like him. We're on this path of sanctification forever until we die, becoming more like Christ. And so here's my thought. We need to pause right now, I believe, and really understand what's spiritually at stake in our lives. If God's wrath, according to his word, and if I said, who believes God's word, all of us would raise our hands. So that means God's word is true. We understand it to be true. We got to sometimes, and I believe it's now, take spiritual inventory and go, What's at stake here? Like, what's at stake? Are we going to be those ones that are willing in our homes, in our churches, in our lives, in our workplace to no longer be contaminated by the world, be polluted by the world spiritually? I was thinking of a couple verses. There were so many, and I just said, we're going to be here till next Sunday, so let me just give you two. All God's people said, amen. I know. I get it. Obadiah 1:3. When's the last time you heard from Obadiah? People are like, Obadiah, is that even in the Bible? Yeah, Obadiah's in the Bible. Obadiah 1:3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Wow, okay. Okay, chief. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Who will bring me down? Look what I'm accomplishing, right? This puffed up, arrogant attitude. But the first part of the verse, the pride of your hearts has deceived. The word deceive means this, to be tricked, to be snookered, to be seduced. That's what it means. The pride of your heart has lured you away. It's baited you and seduced you. That's what pride does, doesn't it? When you write the word pride in your notes, P-R-I-D-E, which is so ironic, that word has unfortunately been hijacked by particular groups and been twisted to be something positive. This is pride. Me, me. And isn't it ironic that this me has now been taken by folks in our culture and they've twisted it and manipulated it and said, this is something good. That kind of pride where you're rebellious and you're warring against God is not good. The wrath of God will come on those people. The second verse or verses I want to give you under this section, Matthew 24:10-13. Matthew 24:10-13. And then many will fall away, referring to the end times, and they will betray one another, and they will hate one another. So, wow, this sounds exciting, doesn't it? So many are going to fall away, they're going to hate each other and betray each other. But what's it say next? And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Hey, come over here. Hey, help us bury the truth all under the name of Jesus. We're going to bury the truth right here. Don't tell anyone, but we're burying the truth right next to us right here, okay? Shh, don't tell anybody, okay? Don't tell anyone. We want to keep this thing going. It's important to keep this thing going. And because lawlessness will be increased, verse 12 of Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Amen. How do you endure to the end? How do you do it? John 16:33, right? In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Man, we cling to Jesus. Like, hang on to Jesus. Give your life to Christ. That's how you endure to the end, right there. That's how you do it. Don't forget, church, don't forget. We will never, I will never, you will never defeat sin in your life that you keep feeding. The more you feed it, the more it will fester. And the more it festers, the more it will spread. And the more it spreads, the more it will take over. And the more it takes over, the whole body will become infected. Not just your body, but the body of your family, the body of your church. Sin has serious consequences, amen? It's just not the wrath of God, although that's horrible. But it has earthly consequences as well. So with that said, let's look at our final portion here. Here it is, Romans 1:21-23. Get those Bibles ready, hearts ready to hear, minds ready. Here it is, last section, Romans 1:21-23. It says this, for although they knew God, that's intellectually, they did not honor him. They did not glorify him. Why? Because they were glorifying themselves. They loved themselves or give thanks to him. I find this very intriguing. Like, let me read this again. Does anyone else find this intriguing? For although they knew God, we get that, they did not glorify him. I would have thought by the power of the Holy Spirit, as this is being written through the hand of Paul, through the mind of Paul, that he would have paused right there. But the Holy Spirit guided him to also say, or give thanks to him. What on earth does giving thanks and giving glory have to do with one another? Think through this. It makes total sense when you start thinking about it. If you're giving glory to yourself, how thankful do you think you're going to be? Let me back it up this way. How many selfish people do you know in your world today that are exceedingly thankful? I can't think of one. Like, every selfish person I know is discontent, frustrated, constantly blaming everybody else. They're going to get to the end of their life unless they repent, lonely. No, that's not filler. They knew God intellectually, but they did not honor. They did not give glory to him. They go, we want us, and we're not giving thanks to you. If anything, we're giving thanks to ourselves. Which really, we're just discontent, and we're in turmoil, and we're being eaten up from the inside out is what is implied here. So what happens? Well, they did not honor, give glory, give thanks to him. This is open, premeditated, deliberate rebellion against God. But they, here it is, here's the result of their open rebellion, became futile in their thinking. Their thinking is useless. Their thinking is pointless. Their thinking is vain. It's deluded. It's deceived. It's broken. It's reprobate. It's unable to think in a godly way. Their conscience has been seared. It's been cauterized. It's been severed. Here's the real deal. They are working for Satan. That's exactly what that phrase means right there. Ever met someone? Have you ever met anyone who you're like, let me get this straight. So you're okay with being under God's wrath? And they just kind of stare at you, or they give a thumbs up or a fist bump, or they dap you or whatever. And you're like, you're out of your mind. And when you say you're out of their mind, they actually are out of their mind. Their thinking has become futile. Their conscience has been severed. Their thinking has been cauterized. It's pointless. It's useless. They're walking in such darkness that they can't even think in a holy way. That's how deep they've been pulled in. That's exactly what that means. Their thinking is futile. And what else? And their foolish hearts, their unwise, ungodly hearts were darkened. And here's the deal. All of us, we only have two options in this life. You got two options in this regard. You either live in the light or you live in the darkness, period. That's it. I mean, you don't vacillate between the two. You don't straddle the two. You either live in light or you live in darkness. And just like Joshua, you got to choose this day who you will serve. And I pray there's people all throughout this fellowship that say, I don't care what the world says. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we don't care what it's going to cost us. We don't care. We've already driven a line in the sand. Do whatever you want to us. We don't care. We're going to serve the Lord. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It all comes back to 1:16 of Romans. It all comes back to 1:16. When you understand what Jesus did for you, when you understand the wrath of God, you will begin to understand the love of God. But until you understand his wrath, you really won't understand his love. You'll get snippets of it, bits and pieces. But when you understand his wrath and that every human being is condemned to a godless hell for all eternity, where there'll be gnashing of teeth, torment forever with no end, and God goes, hey, I'm going to give my only son to pay the price that you should have paid to free you from your sin, your eternal damnation, your death. That's how much I love you. unless you repent. And because that wrath of judgment is so vile, you'll begin to see how wondrous my love is for you. Because no one in their right mind gives their only son. I got three. And I love every one of you, but there's no way I'm ever giving one of my sons for you. It's not happening. Aren't you glad God didn't say that to you and I? Aren't you glad God didn't say, "Yep, sorry, John, I'm not giving Jesus for you." No, he goes, "I'm going to give him for you." But you have to give your life back to him, John. Put your name in that blank. So what happens? Well, here's what happens. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They claim to be wise. And they're deluded, though, remember? So whatever they're saying is just delusion. And they became fools, spiritually unwise. And that's a horrible place to be. Is that a horrible place to be when you realize that you're the fool? You ever been there before? You go, "Man, this is crummy." It's kind of like, man, I just made a fool of myself and everyone knows it. It's kind of like, this is, man, is there a trap door anywhere around here? I don't want to get out of here. This is horrible. It's just how dark and deluded all of this is. They think they're wise. They're not. They're without excuse. And what happens, though, here's the key, the last part. And they exchanged. They willingly gave up one thing to get another thing. That's what exchanging is. You go, "Hey, you know, these glasses here, yeah, I guess they're okay, but, you know, I don't know. I like Jim's better, and so I exchange them." And Jim puts them on and goes, "No wonder he gave these to me. These are horrible." The raw end of the deal. But that's what's happening. So they exchange what? They exchange the glory of the immortal God. Now pause there for just a moment. Can you imagine going, "You know what, God, there's your glory, and I'm just going to exchange it for whatever a cheap substitute I can find." You go, "That's insane." Of course it's insane. Their thinking is futile. It's useless. It's pointless. Their conscience has been seared. They're walking in darkness. They love the darkness. The Bible says this, that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were what? Anyone know? Wicked. They love this stuff. They wallow in it. Like pigs in the pig pen, spiritually, just wallowing in it. People are walking by going, "What are you doing? You're destroying you and your family and your life and your church and all that you have. You're destroying. You're just laying on your back, kicking your feet, playing in the spiritual sewer." Yeah, that's what these people do all over our world. And by the way, in our culture today, I don't know if you guys saw the opening of the Olympics. I didn't watch it, but I saw the clips where they had just things that are not of the Lord opening the Olympics, evidently. Just debased, depraved, shake your fist at God things. And once that group got done doing that, as they were mocking the Last Supper of Jesus with just utter debauchery, here's what they said: "We're not apologizing and we're not going anywhere." Sounds like a futile heart to me and a futile mind under the wrath of God. We pray for those people, amen. I pray they'll turn to Christ. I pray they'll repent and walk in light and true freedom. But that's what's happened here, they exchange. "We don't want God's glory. We don't want truth. We're going to bury it. We don't want to walk in holiness and contentment and true joy and true peace, all the fruit of the Spirit there, Galatians 5. We want ourselves. We want wickedness. We want darkness. We love this." And so many people do this. We pray for them, though, amen? We pray for them that none would perish. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So they said, "God, we don't want you, but we're going to take all this other stuff. Idols, animals, birds, snakes." It's just total insanity. And that's where we live in our culture today. I have never seen this, but what I'm told, when they show and video some of these parades that are going on across our country with certain groups, they say the vile, wicked, demonic acts that are happening on the streets of America, even in front of kids at these parades, it's just disgusting. Makes you want to throw up. That's what happens when you walk in darkness. You're so desensitized that your new normal is this is normal. And this is not normal. It's debased. God hates it. And what happens? They exchange the truth of God for the lie. That's why key number two, write this down, our final key, here it is. As we see here in Romans 1, 21 through 23, God's wrath is on those who become futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts became darkened as they exchanged God's glory for the lie. One more time, key number two. As we see here in Romans 1, 21 through 23, God's wrath is on those who became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened as they exchanged God's glory for the lie. Church, the glory war is real. The submission war is real. The will I fully yield to God war is real. And it all goes back to the garden. Did God really say, God's a liar? You will be like God. It all goes back to the beginning. And right there, it goes back to the beginning because God says, I revealed who I am from creation. Ironic, isn't it? His revelation of who he is goes back to the creation. And sin started back in the garden as well. I want you to write down these verses. Let me give you several verses. And here's the first one. It's Exodus 23 through 6. Exodus 23 through 6. Anytime we exchange anything for God, this is idolatry. And here it is, Exodus 23 through 6. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Back in that day, they loved to make golden calves and other things that they worshipped. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am jealous, visiting the iniquity, the premeditated sin. Here's the warning. Here's the wrath. Visiting the premeditated sin of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. But, here's the good news, but showing steadfast, unfathomable love to the thousands of those who love me and keep, obey my commandments. Wow. For dads and granddads, hey, is it really a big deal that I live for Jesus? It means everything. Tell you what, dads and granddads, what you marginalize spiritually, so will your kids. So will your grandkids. What you marginalize, so will they. Pfft, dad doesn't think this is important. Granddad doesn't think this is important. Pfft, why should I? Think about this from Genesis 11:4, what's called 4a, 11:4a. This is that pridefulness back at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11:4a. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens. And here it is. And let us make a name for ourselves. There it is. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We love us. We're amazing. No, God's amazing. That's why Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, therefore everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's where we are in our culture. You just do whatever you want. Blame everyone else when it goes wrong. What a formula, right? I'm going to do whatever I want, then when it goes south, I'm going to blame somebody else. What a crazy, insane world. And this is what happens when you bury the truth. When you bury the truth, welcome to America, amen? That's why we must be about the Lord's business. We must be the people that help change the narrative. We must be the people that help move the needle. We must be the people that show there's a way, Jesus, that could lead them out of the pit, out of the darkness, into hope. Because if they don't, here's our final thought. It's from Psalm 36, 1 through 4. Write this down. Psalm 36, 1 through 4. Write this down. You're going to need this. Every person worships that which they fear. And what we worship is that which owns us. Whatever you worship is what dominates you. Whatever you worship, that's a master to you. Psalm 36, 1 through 4. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. I think we heard that before, didn't we? For he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity, his premeditated sin, cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth, which is really in his heart, are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots, he schemes trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. There it is. I'm not going to reject this. I'm going to embrace it. And the wrath of God is coming. Who or what we worship is our true master. And the wrath of God or the mercy of God, the grace of God from his wrath can be ours. Amen. We can have his grace and his mercy, and I pray every one of us does. And it only comes through Christ. He's our treasure, isn't he? He's our joy today. Jesus is our treasure. He's our joy. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love you and we worship you. Oh, Father, thank you for this day. This is the day you've made. May we never be the same again as we leave this place, but may we always, always give you glory. Never burying the truth, but simply holding the truth high, knowing that blessed is he or she that endures persecution for your name's sake, Jesus. Blessed they are. May we count it worthy to suffer shame for your name, O God. And may you receive all the praise and all the glory for anything that's good in us, because we know that what is good in us is the power of the Holy Spirit. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for this day. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.